Indeed, victory in Jesus, a song of perspective, the hymn of perspective. Children are dismissed for junior worship. Go back there. Actually, Pastor Eric and I are swapping today. He's going to go back and do junior worship, and I'm going to teach you guys, hopefully. So he's looking forward to it. He gets a week off every once in a while. Matt and I get to preach occasionally, and today's one of those days. That we take a turn. We're actually doing the series Spring Cleaning. And the last 2 weeks, we've talked about two different aspects of spring cleaning, cleaning out. Now, I don't know a whole lot about spring cleaning because I think maybe I did spring cleaning the first year I was married. And that was the last time I did spring cleaning. So, okay, now my house does get clean. It does get clean, but I just don't do that deep cleaning. I need to get my friend Gina to come help me with my deep cleaning. But anyhow, spring cleaning, we really do need to do some deep cleaning of our spiritual lives on a regular basis. And so today we're going to be talking about fear. We've already talked about envy, which was last week, and cleaning our lives of envy. And then we also talked about slothfulness or laziness to the things that God has planned for us. And so today it's fear. Fear. I was actually more afraid in the first service when I was speaking than this service, so I was experiencing fear in mornings like this. You know, when you have things to do, sometimes you get afraid you're going to fail, those fears are never really helpful. So trying to cleanse my life of fear with this sermon as well. You know, fear is a natural and healthy part of our lives. It's a part of who we are. In fact, to remove fear from my life would mean my doom. How many of you have had a child who has had a lack of appropriate fear and has paid the consequences for that? Yeah, absolutely. How many of you have had a lack of appropriate fear and have paid the consequences for that? Yeah, you betcha. Yeah. I paid the consequences a couple times, these consequences. And when I thought about this idea of appropriate fear, you know, there is that. You drive down the highway and there's a couple points of appropriate fear. Number one, you really shouldn't drive too fast because you could have a really bad accident. Secondly, you really shouldn't drive so fast because you could pay a price monetarily for it. And I was delivering cakes probably about 15 years ago now. I had delivered a cake to the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for a wedding there, and I think I had two more cakes to deliver for the day, and I was hightailing it back home on Route 204. How many have seen policemen sitting along Route 204? Yeah. And he instilled on me a concept of appropriate fear when I drive on Route 204. So now when I drive down that road, I always stick to 45. Now, you know how you often kind of go 5 miles an hour over or whatever, you push the limit a little bit, but I really don't do that on that road because it cost me 5 points and I was going very fast. In fact, he cut me a break. He could have given me 6. He said, okay, I won't. You know how if you go 30 miles an hour over, you're in big trouble, or more than 30? Yeah. So anyway, So I learned my lesson. I did. I really did. So today we're not talking about disposing of appropriate fear in our life. We really do need it. We are talking about, however, removing the fear that is toxic to our lives, removing toxic fear. And with a biblical study of fear, we actually go the whole way back to the very beginning of Genesis. God created us with an ability to fear. One of the first instructions that God gave to mankind in the Bible was a very cautionary one. He said, do not eat of that tree or you will die. Okay? So it came as an intricate part of the decision-making process that God built into us. Fear is a big part of that process. He gave us the ability to make choices, and those choices are controlled in part by fear. And all through the Old Testament, we read about fear. We read about fear in two ways. There's about 107 listings of fear in the Old Testament that we find, depending on what version you use. And of those 107, about a third of them talk about the fear of the Lord. And as a child, I read about the fear of the Lord. I'm like, fear. You know what? I'm always being told not to be afraid. And I'm not afraid of things that I like and love. So why am I supposed to fear God? And that didn't make sense to me. That was hard for me to pick up as a child and even as an adult. The fear of the Lord. Does God want me to be afraid of him? That didn't make sense to me. But God gave us fear to be used for him, just like he gave us everything else in our life to be used for him. God gave us fear to be used for him first. And he does want us to fear him. He wanted Adam and Eve to fear him, and he wants us to fear him. So we find the first mention of the word afraid or fear in the beginning of Genesis. Genesis 3, verses 8 through 10, we read, "They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden." This was after they had sinned and eaten from the tree. "Walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. And then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.'" So here we learn a key distinction between godly fear and toxic fear. And toxic fear is the one that drives us away from God. The fear that we have when we turn our back on God and walk away and we hide from him. Toxic fear comes into our life then. Prior to the sin of man and woman, they enjoyed a very close relationship with God, an uninterrupted closeness. It was a perfect relationship. God's perfect love was hovering over them in this umbrella, and they walked under it day after day. And then they decided to believe that God's love was a lie. And as they walked away from God, they experienced toxic fear. So when they believed, they stepped out from under that umbrella, and they said, "You know, I don't know about that. I think it's a lie." And they walked away from it, and they experienced toxic fear. The fear drove them away from God, and then on that day, worry and anxiety became a part of our lives, and it has not ceased. Do I have a witness? Yeah. From the moment of that first sin, when man and woman walked out from under God's perfect love, God at that moment began to begin his plan, to process his plan, put his plan in place for man to once again be able to walk under that umbrella of perfect love. And he sent Christ. So what does toxic fear look like? Toxic fear fears failure. It's that fear that comes into our life. We fear failure. We fear rejection. We fear pain. Fear of something that's going to happen in our life. We fear disappointment. And often those feelings drive us to do things about that feeling of fear, of rejection, of pain, of disappointment. You know, everything that happens in our life comes into our life. It happens around us. It's happening to you now. Something's happening to you now. Your brain is processing it. And it's processing it, and an emotion is being formed in you right now, even as you're here. And it's either an emotion that's based in kind of a love and security emotion, love and security, or the emotion is kind of a fear-threat emotion. And that emotion processes down in our brain, and it comes out of us in something that we affectionately call feelings. They pop out of us. And if it's with a fear-threat emotion, often those feelings that pop out are things like disappointment, worry, anxiety. They just kind of flow to the top. And when we get those feelings, we have a choice of what we're going to do with them. And if we allow those feelings to remain in a negative state and we act on them in a negative way, things happen in our life. And that means that our fear, that fear threat emotion has turned toxic for us. So what does that look like? Well, We make poor parenting, for example, we make poor parenting choices based on toxic fear. Sometimes we parent our kids out of fear, and we are afraid that they are going to reject us. Have you ever seen that face? I hate you. Why did you do that? And we don't want to be rejected. And so there it is. So then we do something so that they don't reject us. We don't do something out of wisdom or the best thing for our kids. We don't want them to reject us. We don't want them to be in pain. How many like to see our kids? No, we love them. We don't want them to be in pain. And so we'll parent out of fear. And when I was looking up kind of faces for kids to put up here, I found this one. I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? And it starts really, really early. Every time I looked at it, I just had to crack up laughing. It starts really, really early. Yeah. And we look at that precious little face, and we just don't want to see them reject us. We escalate conflict in relationship because we're afraid we don't want to lose the argument. And when you think about a relationship where you have conflict, most of the time, if you're both involved in it, most of the time, somebody thinks one way, somebody thinks another way, and nobody's going to give it up. So what is it, three or four? How many think it's three? Yeah, you know, the old optical illusion, but that's what it is in our relationships. Nobody's going to give up being wrong. And so, and that is a basic fear of failure, a basic fear that you're going to lose out something. Don't want to give up what's being wrong. Next one is a map here, and the reason that this is up here is because over the last couple weeks, we've been sorting out our fears about our daughter, Becky, who is in Tajikistan teaching school, and I actually think I have a, oh yeah, I do. Yeah, there it is. Tajikistan is like right in here, I think. She's teaching school this year, and she actually got offered a job in Singapore, which you can see where that is. And she was deciding whether she was going to take it or not. And the job is for a 2-year commitment. And she said most of the time when people go to this particular school in Singapore, they stay for 5 years. And I'm like, okay, what can I do to scare my child to come home? So I wanted to scare her to come home. I don't want to, you know. How can I instill fear in my child? But, you know, when she came right out and said, you know, Mom and Dad, what... I'm just looking for some advice. What advice would you give me? And she was making her list of things, pros and cons. And I said, you know, Brian and I both said, main thing is, if there is any fear on your list, take it off. If there is any fear of what people are going to think, if there's any fear of what we are going to think about your choice, remove it from the list. It doesn't count. Because that's toxic fear. The only thing you want to do is what God's leading you to do. So that's kind of how we dealt with that fear. But these kinds of fears, I didn't want my relationship with my daughter to change. I want it back. I don't want to be disappointed in my relationship with her. I don't want to miss out. I don't want her to be hurt. I don't want something bad to happen to her. And so these fears all play into this whole idea of what toxic fear can be in our life, and toxic fear turns us away from God. So Becky actually did decide she's going to do that, and she'll be home for a couple weeks this summer and then off again. Am I afraid? Yeah, but, you know, take that fear to God every time it wells up in myself. And the other one that's really big, another one that's really big, is fear of not getting what we want from life in general. Fear of being the one that loses. Fear and anxiety, stress and anxiety and worry about our financial future. It just pours into us. We work crazy schedules in order to deal with this fear. And so our question is this driving us toward God, or is this driving us toward something toxic? So that's what we're going to talk about. So if we go back to the Garden of Eden, where God began this work of providing for us a place to be once again under his perfect love. And we fast forward from there several thousand years. We find that God actually finished the work. He finished the work in Christ. He sent Christ to redeem us from our sins, die on the cross, and rise again. So that once again, we can step back under that umbrella of perfect love, and all we have to do is choose to follow him, choose to believe in his salvation. Choose to believe, and we can live in this perfect love again. John 4 sums it up very, very nicely. So this is the kind of the scripture that I took off of today for my message. No one has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. So I'm going to ask you to read verse 18 with me, all in unison. Here we go. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. John says fear involves punishment. Another word for punishment that makes a little bit more sense to me as I read the scripture is fear involves torment. Torment. When I examine my anxieties and my worries and my fears, they are all traced to an anticipation of future torment. But John is saying that God has removed the threat of eternal torment. And you might say, well, yeah, but what about the torment right here? You know, wait a minute, you know, that's what I'm worried about. But let's first think about the idea that God removed the threat of future torment. He sent Christ. He sent us salvation. We don't have to worry about being tormented forever and ever and ever. And eternity is a huge, huge piece compared to this little time we spend in this life. I was going to do an illustration here with a rope, and I decided I probably wouldn't have time for it. So well, now I'm just going to tell you about it. But anyhow, if you imagine, Andrea had it on her Facebook page and thought, this is so good. So now I wish I'd have my rope here, but I'll just tell you about it. If you would imagine that there's a rope that is just goes on forever and ever and ever and ever, and the very end of the rope is about 1 inch, and that's where your life starts, okay? That's how big your life is compared to eternity. It's just this little itty-bitty time. It's just this little itty-bitty time. And so when we recognize the perfect love of God and we recognize the eternity of who he is and the eternal life that we have, this life is so small. And God just gave it to us just so that we would serve him here, so that we could enjoy eternity. So that we would accept him into our life here, and then we could enjoy eternity. So as we think about that perspective, the disappointments and pain that we anticipate for this life diminish significantly when we think about eternity. It doesn't mean that they don't still hurt, but when we think about eternity, it's just a short, short period of time. A lot like when a woman gives birth to a child. It's a short time, a couple hours, minutes, whatever, whatever is for you. Short pain with a life full of blessing with that child most of the time. But yeah, I mean, just think about it. Sorry, I have to qualify these things. But the more we understand and embrace God's perfect love, the less we live with toxic fear. And so that scripture in John about embracing, about toxic fear or perfect love casting out fear, I think that's what that's saying. It's only God's perfect love that can drive out the deep sense of fear that sin has brought into the world. Becoming a follower of Jesus Christ is the only way. So if you aren't following him today, don't leave before making that commitment to follow him. Even after we've committed our lives to Christ, fear, anxiety, and worry will continue to be a temptation for us. Every emotion of fear that starts deep in our brain, you know, it's going to pop out, and that worry, anxiety is going to be there, hopefully for a short period of time till we recognize it and we say, what does God say about this? Where am I going to go with this? The Holy Spirit in Christ has given us the ability to overcome that fear, to work with it day in and day out. Scripture actually commands us that we are to be transformed in our mind. There's a couple scriptures here that I want to bring out. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Another one. This is one that I've memorized with some ladies over the years. 2 Corinthians 10:5, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." We are taking every thought captive. Scripture's telling us that we have some control over this. We can decide what we're going to think, and that God, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, makes it possible for us to think differently. Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell," or think, some versions say think, "on these things." So scripture indicates that we have the ability to choose either a negative or positive response when the emotion of fear is produced inside of us. It's very clear about that. Science even shows us that the literal pathways in the brain are formed by our choices. And when we have made the same choice over and over, it becomes a habit because a pathway has been formed. We can form good habits, we can form bad habits. But habits do actually form a pathway in your brain. That's why it's so hard to break them. So hard to break them. But in the power of God, we can. The brain physically changes. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." He has given us a sound mind to make choices. Our mind actually controls our brain. He gave us a brain, but he gave animals a brain too. But one thing he did different with man is he gave us a mind that we use to control what happens in our brain. The more often you make a godly choice and the less often you make a toxic choice, the more natural that choice will become. So, in thinking about that and the whole idea that we can change the habitual pathways in our brain, God has told us that we can. Let's get some practical things to do to help us carry this out. Carry out to the dumpster the toxic fears in our life that control the anxiety and stress that bring that up, and put into place the godly fear in a place of honor in our life. I love the scripture from Isaiah, and often, you know, we don't think of the prophets having, the Old Testament prophets having a whole lot to say. You know, we like to read the words of Jesus, we like to read the words of Paul and John and all the letters of the New Testament, and they do carry huge amounts of information for us. But these Old Testament prophets have some real gems for us. Isaiah 8:12 through 14a, "You are not to say it is a conspiracy in regard to all that this people call a conspiracy, and you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy, and he shall be your fear and he shall be your dread. then he shall become a sanctuary. And isn't that what we want? We want a sanctuary, we want a place. We want a place of safety. In this scripture, I see 3 points that help us with a process to change the pattern of toxic thinking that we seem to embrace, toxic fear in our lives. The first one is to, this sentence is a little structured a little bit weird, so I'll try to explain it. Claim as your own and confess the truth about negative thoughts and the toxic fears that produce them. When that scripture in Isaiah says, don't say it's a conspiracy, you know, we like to think that other people, it's other people who are conspiring to make us think these things, to give us anxiety, to give us stress. There, it's other things other than ourselves that are bringing us to this point. Toxic fear is grounded in lies and distortions. Godly fear is grounded in truth and reality. And as long as we believe that our thoughts are justified because other people are causing them to happen in us, we are believing a lie. And we don't want to think that it's our fault, because we never want to think that anything is really our fault. We like to justify our actions. We like to justify our responses. But the first step in changing those pathways in the brain is to admit it's my deal. These are my own. And I need to change. I need to make the decision to change. Godly fear is grounded in truth and reality. And so to turn to God is to find truth and reality. Leads us to the next, before I move to the next one, just as we go through these, I'd like you to find one issue in your life, one thing that's stressing you out today, one anxiety. And if you have a lot of them, just try to find the one, and maybe they're all connected, but think of one that you can kind of walk through this process in your mind with. So find that one issue that's causing you anxiety, trace it back to an initial fear that's causing that anxiety or stress or anger, whatever that negative feeling is that comes up in you on a regular basis. Trace it back to the fear. Is it fear of failure? Is it fear of being disappointed? Is it fear of pain of some kind? What is it? Trace it back. Find the fear. Admit it, that it's your fear. Admit that you can do something about it. And that's step number one. The next one is to concentrate on God's truth and consider his holiness and greatness. And we just sung about this morning, all those great songs that Dwayne picked for today. You know, songs about God's greatness, his power. Do we really believe that? That is the truth. That is the truth. So concentrate. This means that you might actually have to go someplace where there's no noise and sit quietly and meditate. Almost every day do that. Find 10 minutes to sit quietly and think about God's greatness. Think about his greatness first, consider his greatness, and concentrate on his truth. Concentrate on the truth that Scripture might have for you that points to that particular lie that you're telling yourself. Find a Scripture that can debunk that lie. Recently, over the last couple of months, there were some times when I had some very high anxiety. I mean, it was over the top for me. And over a couple week period of time, it was just very, very high. And it was just things that were going on in my life. And I was so high, I could not sort it out. I just had a hard time sorting it out. And I prayed, and God led me to somebody who could help me sort that out and could pray with me. And it wasn't something that I really wanted to talk about with a lot of people, just, you know, Brian knew and this one other person that I felt led to pray with me about that and to help me find truth. And it was amazing how that helped me. So you may not be able to do this by yourself. Find somebody to help you. Find somebody to look at Scripture with you and work through what Scripture has to say about that lie, but do it. Meditate. The next, let me get my other, toxic fear seeks the values of the world and self-centered perspective. So if we don't do this, what we end up doing is just picking up the values of the world, what comes naturally, and we end up just centering ourselves on ourselves. We just continue to be self-centered about it. You know, that we just can't get out from under it. But godly fear will seek God's wisdom and his eternal perspective. So what are we seeking when we are afraid? Whose advice are we looking to? Are we looking to solve that fear by what the world has to say? Or are we looking to solve it by what God has to say? And then the last set. Commit to a plan and change the way you deal with the negative thought pattern. So it's one thing to sit every day, and it's absolutely necessary to sit almost daily. If you don't do it every day, at least make it every other day. Sit daily with that fear. But it's another thing to get up off that chair and do it. Do what the truth is. Be obedient. Toxic fear leads us to a place of vulnerability where we focus on ourselves. And now that I'm looking at this and prayed about this sermon over the last couple of days, I wish that word vulnerability was paralyzed, had something to do with being paralyzed. Have you ever been paralyzed with fear? That you're just so afraid of whatever this thing is that you can't do anything. You think about how bad it is, you're just paralyzed. And that's what, if we allow toxic fear to continue in our life, it paralyzes us. And we focus on ourselves, we get totally inside ourselves, and we can't see anything out, anything beyond it. Godly fear provides a place of sanctuary. We're back to that verse, and you will become a sanctuary. You will become a sanctuary. He provides that place of sanctuary in his perfect love, where we then, in this place of safety, can live out our obedience. We can live out our daily worship of him, because he has provided a sanctuary where we're no longer paralyzed in our thinking, where we can see beyond ourselves. We can see him. We can see his eternal perspective. And the fear, maybe this circumstance is still there, but the fear is diminished. And that's what he wants us to do, because he wants us to be able to focus on him. So in this step, get a piece of paper. Maybe you're not a journaler or writer or whatever, but at least get a piece of paper, write down the scripture truth that you're going to focus on, write down the things that you are going to do. And every time that thought comes up in your head, and pops out however many times a day or week or whatever, apply it. Apply it. This plan will help us make a sea change in how we deal with, and there's a slide that's not there that I wanted up there, but if you notice, all of the main words that I talked about started with a C. Claim and confess was the first. Claim and confess, consider and concentrate on God, and commit and change and be obedient. It's a sea change. So we're going this way, now we're going to go that way. I'm not going to tell you that if you follow this process, it means that you will never experience failure, or that you will never be disappointed or feel rejected, or pain will never come. I'm not going to tell you that, because it's not true. You will have experienced failure. You will experience pain. There will be circumstances that are difficult for you to deal with. But I will tell you that a life of seeking out God's perfect love to replace your fears will place you on a journey that will end in perfect peace and joy for eternity, with plenty of tastes of it along the way. The journey of following toxic fear to negative thoughts and responses leads to endless turmoil and strife in our life. You will have a growing sense of despair as relationships are difficult. Not to mention the physical toll that it takes on us. And probably not one of us has been to a doctor where they haven't said, stress, get rid of the stress. We know that stress and anxiety works on our physical body in ways that you don't even understand. It's so destructive. So today, I just encourage you to pick one point of anxiety, trace it back to the fear, admit the lie about the fear, claim it as your own, confess it, find God's truth in Scripture, and make the change. Do that for a month on that one thing, because science tells us it takes a month for the brain, about 21 days a month, for the brain to redirect itself, to form new pathways. Do it for a month. When you get to the end of the month, work on the next fear. And eventually, turning to God day after day with a fear will do wonders for your relationship with Him and for your quality of life in general. You will then be able to glorify Him with your life, which is what He put us for here in the first place. Matt will be back at the prayer room while we close with some songs. He'll be back if you want to go there for prayer. So let's pray. Father, we just are just in awe of who You are. Help us to understand what godly fear is in our lives. Help us to eradicate the toxic fear that brings stress and anxiety and anger and worry. Help us to be patient with this process. Help us not to give up, but to just be obedient and daily walk in this way. And I just pray that each person here would find themselves freed by those things that oppress them because they've allowed their thoughts to be negative and have not turned our thoughts towards You. Lord, thank You for Your word and Your truth. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.